This is Alan Pierce, the nurse ICU manager at the Adventist Health Feather River Hospital in Paradise, California, who was there during the terrible campfire that decimated the hospital as well as the town. And this is his story.
Well, it was November 8th, about 7:30 in the morning. I was there for an early meeting. I get a text from my wife saying that there was a lot of smoke in the air. It had previously been a sunny day. I walked out of the meeting to out to the parking lot, and there was a lot of wind, a lot of smoke, a lot of ash. I saw our house supervisor also out checking it out, so I told her, like, we talked and decided we need to call for an incident command, which was set up for about 8 in the morning, so about half an hour later. I swung by my unit and told them, the ICU, and told them, like, hey, we might be looking at something. Let's get all the information for the patients on their beds and wheelchairs and gurneys bedside. I'm going to head off to this meeting and see what we need to do. Just keep your phones next to you. And so went to the incident command meeting. The CFO quickly called for evacuation of the hospital after we assessed the information coming in. And all the department heads went off to their different different areas. The non-clinical were just getting their people out of there. In the clinical, we were working on getting all our patients out safely. I texted my unit immediately when the CFO called for evacuation. So by the time I got there, they were already working on that. We worked on, over about the next 40 minutes, we got all the patients out of the hospital and headed down the hill. And while some of the other leaders and I were tagging out rooms as evacuated, so if the firefighters had to fight anything in the hospital, they wouldn't have to go check clear rooms. I made sure all of our patients were out, and I made sure all my staff were out before I even got in my car. So a lot of the leaders ended up getting stuck in the back of the line. And we headed out. When I finally was able to head out to the main road, it was probably half an hour later. We got diverted off one of the main roads, heading out of town onto a side road and down into a gully that was already on fire, where we got stuck in gridlock, getting pushed up against flames, and then getting over to the other side of the road. And the two staff members in my car evacuated to a fire truck next to me that was also trapped, and they had just put their blankets up against the windows. Their fire blankets up against the windows, and we're just preparing to burn over. I chose to stay in my truck because all the people in front of me and behind me were all my team members from the hospital, and I didn't want to evacuate the truck with the chance that if the traffic kept moving, that I'd be trapping my people in there. So I stayed in my truck. I thought we were getting to a point where I thought I wasn't going to make it. I thought we were all. There was fire coming in. We were surrounded by fire, but there's also fire burning in behind us because the winds were coming in sideways. We had high gusts of winds, and then I was trapped on the left side by a burning truck, and the fire truck was on my right, and we were just gridlocked in. And then I recorded a message to my family, telling them I loved them, and I tried everything I could. This is just in case. Then all of a sudden a bulldozer came out of nowhere and knocked the truck on my left out of the way, and I was able to see a path that went off into the forest and turn around. I was driving a big full-size Toyota Tundra that's kind of set up for off-road, so I was able to kind of tear off into the woods and turn around. And I headed back up the hill, and at the cross street I decided to go back to the hospital. Not completely sure why I did that, but I knew that path was clear for sure. So I went that way. And several other people from my team ended up back at the hospital too. And we, after some hugs and kind of sharing some quick stories, we realized patients and other people from the community were showing up at the hospital needing help. So we had fully evacuated the hospital. It was empty and locked up. And a couple of the other leaders and I broke back into the hospital, got lanterns, oxygen, supplies, crash carts, medication boxes, everything we could. And then we had the medics, I had the medics set up chairs for triage, and we went into the ER and got the gurneys out and set up a, you know, green, yellow, red section outside the hospital so we could start treating people and helping them out. Once things had kind of settled there, the fire crew that was up there informed us that the hospital was now on fire, so we had to move our triage, which was set up right in front of the ED. We had to move it maybe 200 yards over to the helipad that's attached to our parking lot. It's a asphalt pad. We did a quick decision to move it there because that area had already burned over. So we started moving everyone, you know, people that could walk, walked. We wheelchaired and gurneyed and threw chairs and things in the back of trucks and moved it all over to the helipad. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen that pictures where we had all the equipment in the middle and the patients all around the edges. So then we just continued to care for the patients as the hospital burned on one side, the town on the other, the rest of our hospital campus on the other side, and the valley in front of us. The canyon in front of us, it was pretty, you know, we were just kind of doing our job and doing our thing. And, finally, hours later, the fire teams were able to tell us that the road had been cleared enough to attempt another evacuation. So we got everyone kind of into different vehicles, depending on the acuity of the patients, into like ambulances and other police vehicles that were available, and started heading back down the hill in a big long caravan. And then we evacuated the town. We evacuated out of the town. I headed straight down to the incident command they had set up in the nearby town of Chico and reported off, and then made sure my team was safe, and then headed off to my home to see my wife and kids. My wife had gotten the kids out earlier, like right after she had texted me. She had headed down the hill with the kids and our animals, so they all got out safely. So I didn't have to worry about them the entire time this was happening. That was helpful. Unfortunately, I pulled up with... there's a reason I went. It was not a relief as much as it wasn't on my mind when I was trapped and when I was helping other people. I didn't have to worry about them. Mm-hmm. She was worried about me the whole time, obviously, of course, because I hadn't been able to communicate with her. We lost all cell phone service. Mm-hmm. I had little blips here and there, but not enough to communicate with her. And so it was hours and hours later before I made it down the hill. Unfortunately, I pulled up with the burnt side of the truck in their view, so they kind of lost it for a bit. And I had to jump out and say, like, I'm okay.
Yes, I've seen the pictures of the truck, and it's pretty remarkable, especially the melted, everything's melt that could melt, melted on it. And it's just remarkable that, you know, when people say they've had close calls, and then you see the picture of the truck, and then the pictures of showing the fire all around, and this little oasis in the middle of the fire where the helipad was.
It's quite remarkable. Even now when I look back, it gives me chills. Even seeing the truck, which Toyota has now, but people will send me pictures when they see it at the different facilities. It's still kind of, it's a little triggering to see, like, those parts of the truck, you know, as they get, you know, you see the one picture that got famous, but as you get closer, it's a lot more extreme. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a remarkable story, and in listening to your story and others and reading some of the other reports on just the work of the nursing staff and the rest of the hospital staff as well, but just the work that you did there and you know, it's what people do when they're nurses, and that's what I kept hearing from nurses saying, well, that's I'm a nurse, that's what I do. My patients were there and I had to take care of them. So it's just remarkable.
I think
it's a wonderful testament to all of you.
Definitely, it's nice talking to nurses about it because they get it. There's no explaining like why we would do something like that.
Yeah.
That seems that dangerous or scary because we take care of people and that's what we do, and we're responsible for them.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for your incredible job there, but for taking the time to share your story. I hope many people will listen to it and just realize all the good work that nurses are doing. And congratulations again on getting out and making sure your staff and your patients get out. It's really a remarkable story. So thank you.
Well, I wouldn't wouldn't have done anything different. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.